to start the question and answer session with the questions posted online. I definitely encourage everybody to continue posting questions. We have plenty of time. Will, I'm going to actually start with a question for you since you just finished up while it's fresh in everybody's mind. Question is, are all of the weigh-in motions in Wisconsin and Washington load cell weigh-in motion?
I don't have that readily at my fingertips, but I can look into that and provide an answer offline if that's okay.
Sure, that'd be fine. Let's see. We'll go back up to the top, and I think most of these actually came in during Tina's presentation, but anybody feel free to answer. True or false, weigh in motion is not used for enforcement?
Would that be a question for me, or?
I believe it came in during Tina's presentation, but anybody, any of you are welcome to answer it.
Tina, go ahead, or?
Well, I don't think I can really answer it. Right now, there is no weighing in motion requirement in Handbook 44, and of course, Handbook 44 only becomes enforceable when it's adopted by state or local jurisdiction. I think this also ties into the other question that came from A.S. Thompson regarding what's the purpose of the proposed amendment to Handbook 44. Tom, I don't know if you might want to speak to that with regard to the ultimate intent of how the weigh-in and motion code might be used as far as highway weight enforcement applications are concerned.
Sure, Tina. Let me, I'll roll back to Steve Hilo's question. Steve, I think what you're really asking is WIM anywhere being used for direct enforcement? And the answer to that is yes. In very, very limited circumstances, it's being used in Belgium for direct enforcement at low speed. They write right off of a coarse piezo WIM setup at very, very low speed entry points to rest areas. But in that case, WIM is used for direct enforcement. There is no static scale weighing that occurs. France is doing a lot of research right now, setting up control segments by which they can conduct controlled weighing using weigh-in-motion technology. That is the low speed, once again, WIM used for direct citation. That is used, I believe, in one location in France based on a report that's a few years old, but France is looking to more ambiently use weigh-in-motion for direct enforcement. In the United States, no, nowhere. Nowhere I'm aware of. No locality, no state that I am aware of is riding directly off weigh-in-motion equipment, certainly not at highway speed. And it is not our intent under this project by any means to do direct enforcement. The WIM manufacturers are very important partners in the project. Cardinal Scales, Steve Langford, is on the National Conference of Weights and Measures. Steve is on our project oversight team. Daryl Flocken of Mettler Toledo. We are in the process of welcoming him as our working group chairman. So we have a lot of representation by industry, the manufacturers of WIM equipment, and we're certainly not going to set a bar on this project that's outside of their reach. So WIM for screening to basically assist the officer standing before the judge and have the trucker claim that he is being unfairly being picked on in the travel stream. We want that officer to be able to demonstrate to the judge that he had just cause for pulling that truck in and that he had a good probability of a violation based on WIM, a WIM reading, but not for direct enforcement. That would still be written off a static scale. Very long answer to a very short question, but Aves, I tried to knock off your question as well.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Another question, how many states have adopted the law enforcement codes, if any, in Handbook 44? And again, I'll open that up to any of the presenters.
Hi, this is Tina. Our agency, NIST, doesn't track the adoption of various sections of Handbook 44 by highway weight enforcement agencies. There is a summary of jurisdictions at the State Weights and Measures Program level that summarizes which ones have adopted Handbook 44. We do have a summary of that in one of the handbooks that we put out called NIST Handbook 130, and that outlines which states have adopted Handbook 44. But that is primarily for the commercial weighing and measurement application. We really don't have a tally for the highway weight enforcement end, which may be the section that you're asking about.
Okay. Hey, Jenna, I'd like to just throw in a little footnote on that previous question. Brian Taylor, who is one of our landmark experts with weigh in motion in North America, Brian formerly of International Roadway Dynamics, currently with Intelligent Imaging Systems, he's typed in a little bit of help on the question of direct enforcement, noting that England has been doing it for over 20 years using slow speed scales. So thank you, Brian, and it's good to see your name and see that you're online with us here.
Okay, next question. Please review the purpose of the proposed amendment to H-44. And I'll also, any presenter who would like to answer.
Jennifer, this is Tina. I think Tom touched upon that in his response to Steve's question with regard to the intended application was for the screening applications.
Thank you, Tina. Exactly.
Okay. Let's see here. Does any aspect of this effort address using the weigh-in-motion data to provide information for enforcement and operations?
Well, Will or I could take that on, but absolutely. That's exactly what the purpose is. Standards and specifications for weigh-in-motion regarding supporting enforcement and their operations to be able to allocate resources by time of day, by geographic location, knowing where the loadings are most heavy and occurring on the network for resource management purposes, the Handbook 44 having a standard, having a specification covering the tool. Basically, it allows for the transfer of information amongst and between the states and different enforcement agencies. Everyone will understand exactly what the quality of the data is, how the data is being, or how the data measurements are occurring. The devices will be subject to a uniform standard regarding performance for use. So yes, it's definitely regarding the planning stage of the process. This project would positively benefit that.
And to echo that, Tom, this is Will Schaefer at CVSA. We part of our mission as an organization is to help maintain and develop uniform training, inspections, and enforcement, and to that end, this would certainly help us as users of weigh-in-motion equipment, both for consistency and as well as for utilizing information that's collected to help us make decisions, as help our members make decisions and at the enforcement agency level.
Okay. Let's see. Is there any data available on the correlation between a vehicle's weight and decreased safety?
Okay, Eric, let me reframe that for a second, and then Will, I'll let you take it on. Is there
okay.
any correlation between the practice of overloading and illegally overloading in particular, and how does that relate to decreased safety? So, Eric, I'm going to re-engineer your question a little bit, and I'm going to listen to Will take on it.
That helps me out a little bit. Our experience with seeing a correlation between safety practices, it fits more broadly that those who are running overweight or running outside the limits of the regulations tend to be less safe operators, and that is corroborated by the motor carrier safety rating and the experience and the reporting from FMCSA and their compliance safety accountability and the safety management profiles.
Well, it also, Will, this affords me an opportunity for a commercial break. and the commercial break would be. Before Belgium went to use WIM for direct enforcement, they did a global scan of the studies, any information, any studies, any measurements that try to tackle exactly this question, the practice of illegally overloading a vehicle and its implications regarding the degrading of highway safety. We looked at that study in 2006 after we did a European scan on the use of technologies for enforcement, looked at the study and found that it was really built on a lack of compelling, robust data. And as a follow-up to the 2006 scan, Dr. Dan Turner, the University of Alabama, UTC, he did a study, did an evaluation on what kind of data is available. And we find that we have more haul room information. We all know that when a truck is exceeding its gross vehicle weight rating, that the brake systems are less dependable, the performance of the vehicle becomes more unpredictable. Therefore, the danger, the risk of the vehicle goes up. We know that in the hallway, but we do not have ordinal data. We don't have good information at our fingertips, empirical data, if you will, to be able to quantify that relationship. Currently, Federal Highway Administration, my office, my colleague John Nicholas is working with Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Luke Loy is their representative. They're advancing a study to tackle exactly this area right now. They're getting up in there. There's a project that's been funded so we could collaborate to build that relationship, make measurements, and understand what that relationship is. Thanks for setting the table for me, Will. And thank you, Eric, for asking the question so I could run my commercial.
Okay. How do you anticipate handling the different topographies in conjunction with the Way in Motion code?
I need a clarification from the questioner on what topographies that she's talking about.
All right. If you'd like to clarify on that.
Tom, this is Tina. In the meantime, I can give a general, some general thoughts to that with regard to how Handbook 44 addresses variation that's anticipated from site to site. There are typically the section called user requirements will recognize general guidelines for installation and use that are very general in nature, but recognize that there may be variations from site to site which need to be addressed. For example, when the word topography is used, I often think of approaches. In other words, how will the scale be installed? What if the approaches aren't level? What if the terrain is rough? And right now there is a provision in Handbook 44 that would give some general guidelines and then leave it to the official within the individual site to address whether or not the installation was appropriate, level, and so on. So a similar approach could be taken with the Way in Motion draft code, but it will depend upon what kind of an effect different topographies would have on the accuracy and performance of the system. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, it looks like Barb typed in that you did answer the question. Thank you. Let's see here. Will technology ever find a way to accurately weigh at highway speeds?
I could throw this one to Brian Taylor because Brian knows the answer to this in his sleep. The answer is right now it does accurately measure, but what it's measuring is the aggressivity of the contact of the weight coming in, being broadcast through the tires to the roadway surface. It is accurately measuring aggressivity. It's picking up the dynamics that are occurring within the vehicle, and it's also introducing other noise, if you will, through the impact of temperature, wind, other factors that naturally occur around a truck as it's traveling down a roadway. Think about a truck hitting a pothole or our cars hitting a pothole and how the suspension pulls back and then the vehicle's weight takes over in relation to gravity and it comes down and hits hard again, and you see this oscillating relationship of the weight of the truck above its actual static weight, below its actual static weight, as the aggressivity of the vehicle is being measured by the WIM device and being measured very accurately. Work that's been done with WIM is to set up filters to take that oscillating curve, if you will, and be able to normalize it to an estimate of static weight. And that's what a lot of research, a lot of analysis has gone into, is to understand exactly the performance of that curve and then how to use that oscillating curve to come up with a dependable estimate of actual static weight. So So today, and any WIM manufacturer will tell you, and they will show you when they come in your office and bring a WIM scale out and they put an object on the WIM scale, they weigh very, very accurately. It is the unit that they are measuring that's unstable, not the capability of the device itself. If anyone has anything to add, I invite Tina or Will.
I think you also answered Terry Wohl's question from North Dakota. How will the code address the topic of accurately weighing liquid loads at highway speeds?
Yeah, Terry, that's a tough one. And I know when we were down at the international meeting in WIM in Brazil, Brazil is really, really, their metrology body also regulates transport and the weighing of vehicles. And they were wrestling with that one big time. They're very concerned about liquid transport and accurate readings using weigh in motion. We had another level of instability to the unit we're trying to measure. It's not a function of the accuracy of the scale.
Right. Next question. Where can we find the list of working group members?
This is Dan. I can provide the list. I need an address or contact information, but I'd be glad to do that.
All right. If the person asking the question, if they'd like to get in touch with Dan to get that. Let's see. The use of WIM technology for direct enforcement would seem to be quite similar to the use of radar guns or other sensors for speed enforcement. Do we have a goal in the U.S. to eventually be able to use WIM for direct enforcement?
Tom, I don't know the answer to that directionally.
I can answer that in terms of a Mohawk Indian of seven generations removed. down the road, yes. And what we want to see is the community of weigh in motion users globally come closer and closer together, creating a dialogue, sharing information, and moving toward that end. But at this point, to come up with a robust, adequate screening approach to be able to effectively estimate static weight of a vehicle and therefore pull in vehicles that need to be measured on a static scale. That is the immediate focus of what we're trying to do here. But eventually, Joe Crabtree, if you wanted me to really tell you what my picture is in my mind, it is the weigh in motion scale that's actually going to hand off a reading to a roadside piece of equipment that'll validate the onboard weighing device measurement, where the truck knows what it weighs by axle, by gross vehicle, through an onboard weighing system, and that information is correlated. So direct enforcement within that sense of a vehicle knowing and a roadway estimating and getting a clear picture of actual, does that meet the standard for direct enforcement? And I would say probably more closely. That's another step on the path. But we can say that right now that's, you know, the Intelligent Access Program in Australia, that's exactly what they're doing. They're actually, hey, Brian, there's another instance where they're using WIM, actually, an onboard WIM in that case, to directly enforce truck movement. So, yes, eventually, but not soon, and we definitely have enough in front of us right now to think that we should leap to that end.
Okay, we had a comment typed in. I'm just going to put it out there if anybody wanted to confirm this or talk about it. Somebody said, I seem to recall that the IMF required Brazil to install WIM to qualify for the loans to develop their highway system. Does anybody know anything about that or want to comment on that?
Sure. Well, Brazil just hosted the International Society of Weigh in Motion for a WIM conference in April. They had the good fortune to be able to attend. And no loan. There is no loan. There's a $60 billion motorway update initiative underway in Brazil. That's Brazil. Brazil's GMP grew by 35% last year. So Brazil's not really going out looking to markets to borrow money. They're doing very, very well, and they are trying to recover from what they call the lost decade, the decade of military rule transitioning to civilian democratic rule. where there was a tremendous underinvestment in public infrastructure that occurred. Motorway systems not in good repair. We've been in dialogue with Brazil. We have a cooperative a relationship right now with DENICH. DENICH is the highway agency of Brazil. Federal Highways executed that agreement to assist them as they move forward in building the motorway system. An element of that construction program that they are very interested in is introducing Way-in-Motion technology built into the original construction of the upgrade of the motorway system. And I know there's a lot of international WIM providers that could add a lot more detail on the funding, but it's not contingent on the money being available to Brazil to upgrade roads. It's actually a requirement that was written into law as part of the motorway system update. There's a huge amount of money they've set aside for WIM investments. I mean, really big. Let me get back to Ave Thompson's question. Ave's the working group members. We have Marianne Dykeman from Alaska DOT, and Howard Helkin is also part of the working group. They are members, so not only does Dan Middleton have a copy of working group members, but they would have copies of the members as well.
All right. Next question. Isn't another big benefit of WIMS sorting that it saves time and fuel costs for compliant vehicles?
Certainly, motor carriers, our member, we have member fleets that use these, use the opportunity to benefit from this type of sorting, and I think that they absolutely support that. I would say yes.
Big time.
Okay. Next question, Tom, can you elaborate on board WIM?
Sure, these are onboard weighing systems that are placed on the trailer in proximity to the axle sets. And they measure the downward pressure or force of the payload onto the axles. They, right now in the Intelligent Access Program, they may be a required element for an oversized vehicle to be able to go out and operate on whatever class of roadway they're approved to operate on. And basically that information is broadcast via commercial mobile radio services back to the permit office. Let's say like the state of Victoria, permit officials watch that load, make sure they stay on the approved routing. And the onboard systems are required to be calibrated on they're very, very accurate, but the calibration need is every 3 to 4 months. So, and they're very, very stringent on the calibration and the data being accurate that's being produced by these systems. So,
right.
The onboard weighing systems are available in the U.S., and there are some companies that use them for their own loading purposes. But we haven't tapped into them in any way for enforcement.
Okay, thank you, Tom. I don't see any additional questions typed in. We have some time, so we'll take a moment to see if anybody on the phone wants to ask a question over the phone. And also feel free to continue typing in questions as well, if the operator can give instructions on how to ask a question over the phone.
If you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile a Q&A roster. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. Okay, we do have a question from Barry Mason. Your line is open.
Thank you. Do we know what states are probable need states that have to have know their what the probable cause is before they can bring a truck in?
That over to Will, but I don't think we know the answer to that one, Barry.
Yeah, I don't have that answer.
Is that part of the purpose we're trying to achieve by standardization so that when they do go to the judge, it helps them with their probable cause requirement?
I would prefer the term just cause rather than probable, because I guess legally there's a huge difference between those two terms.
But I agree.
Just cause is that there's a public interest in knowing
sure
where the vehicles need to be pulled out and need to have a closer inspection. So I know I don't know which states operate under what standard.
May I ask the second question?
Sure.
You just, go ahead.
You just did.
thank you. Do we know if it would help the Handbook 44 as it relates to the status skill requirements that the status skills be used when can be to justify the accuracy of the WIM by marrying those two data streams together to constantly validate the accuracy of the WIM being within tolerance to already a prescribed legal for trade document or tool?
Can I take an initial stab at this? I don't know if it will answer your question completely. Right now, there are other applications in Handbook 44 that deal with dynamic weighing applications. And in almost all of those applications, the test protocol does require that there be a static scale used to verify loads that are then used dynamically across the dynamic scale. So the static scale would serve sort of as a reference scale that would be used to verify the accuracy of the weighing and motion scale. With regard to routine everyday use, that might be a question more for Tom or Will with regard to how those scales might ultimately be used by the user in a daily application. But with regard to official testing, we would see the need for a static scale to verify reference weights that would go across the dynamic scale during testing.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, there are no further questions on the phone at this time.
Thank you. We did have one question. Tom, if you want to go back and clarify, the person, this gentleman said he didn't hear clearly where onboard WIMs are being used. Is there a reference document?
Probably can come up with one. There's a lot of documentation regarding the Performance-Based Standards Initiative in Australia, and I am sure they would have a publication that lays out exactly what the requirements and the use of the onboard weighing systems are. I can hunt that down if I don't. I can also contact folks and get my hands on it. So Bill, tom.keareny@dot.gov. Throw me an email and remind me to go get that for you.
Okay. Tina, what section of HB 44 deals with dynamic weighing?
Yes, Christopher. There are a couple of codes that deal with dynamic weighing applications, and in addition, there are some specific code paragraphs within the scales code that deal with dynamic as well. It might be good if you would give me your email address, and I can talk with you directly. But just to give you an overview, there is an automatic weighing systems code which deals with dynamic weighing primarily in packaging applications. There is a belt conveyor scale system code which deals primarily with product like coal or gravel moving across the conveyor belt. There is a multiple dimension measuring devices code which deals with the dynamic weighing of high speed packages. And then there are specific code requirements in the scales code which deal with in-motion railway weighing, as well as dynamic weighing of livestock carcasses. So they're scattered throughout the handbook, but if you would email me at tbutcher@nist.gov, I'd be glad to go over the specific sections with you.
All right, thank you. Well, that is all the questions that I see typed in for right now. I'm going to go ahead and start closing out, but if an additional question does come in, I can take the time to stop and ask that. So if you do think of anything else, type it in. I want to
have one other question on the phone.
Oh, sorry.
It's from Barry Mason. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Do we know if WIM is being used as a weight mile tolling anywhere in the U.S.?
Barry, right now there's only 4 weight distance taxes operating in the U.S. I think New York and I believe either Kentucky or Tennessee, or forget who the other two are. Oregon might be one of them. I know Oregon's in court getting beat up on their tax all the time. But there's only four surviving from about 27 to 30 states that tried it about over the last 15, 20 years. As far as I know, in the United States, there is no use of WINS to be able to register an amount due or to calculate a fee that would be applied to a truck distance tax. In the world, I'm not aware. I don't know. Very globally.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There are no other questions on the phone at this time.
All right. Thank you. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Let's see. So I want to thank all our presenters for great presentations today, and thank everybody in attendance. The recording of today's event will be available within the next few weeks on the Talking Freight website, and I'll send out an email once it is available. The presentations are available for download in the bottom right corner of the screen, and they will remain up after the webinar today, so you can go back there and download them, and they'll be posted online as well. As a reminder, if you're an AICP member and would like to receive 1.5 certification maintenance credits for attending today's seminar, please make sure you are signed in with your first and last name, or that you typed your name into the chat box if you're attending with a group of people. I encourage everybody to download the evaluation form and email it to me after you've completed it. The next seminar will be held on October 19th. This webinar is not currently available for registration, but I will send out a notice through the Freight Planning Listserv once it is. The listserv is the primary means used to advertise these Talking Freight webinars, so if you haven't already joined it, I encourage you to do so through the link on the slide on the screen right now. So with that, I think that should be it for the questions, and I think we'll go ahead and end for the day. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.